The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Hear another parable. There was a householder who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to tenants and went into another country. When the season of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Afterwards, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to them, "He will put those wretches in a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read in the scriptures, 'The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the fruits of it." When the chief priests and Pharisees heard these parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. But when they tried to arrest him, they feared the multitudes because they held him to be a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Gracious God, in the building of your kingdom, show us the cornerstone. Help us to be builders. Amen. We can almost date ourselves according to which children's toys we remember and we loved. One of my first true loves in elementary school was an Etch-a-Sketch. Did anybody here have an Etch-a-Sketch? Okay, so much for that. I mean, you could get addicted to the Etch-a-Sketch. Well, I was late to the game for another set of toys, actually, that not only became popular, but has hit the half a century mark and has museums designed around it. Aha, if you read the title of the sermon, you will know I'm talking about Legos. Anybody remember Legos? Did you play with them? Did your kids play with them? Did you have to buy and keep buying because some of them disappeared? Legos, toys that rule the world. A toy that Paul would have enjoyed. And so here we are. The success of the Legos depends on the way you pop the little bricks together. There is an endless variety. There's not just one answer. And there's a combination of figures, three-dimensional, that you can create. These possibilities, these changes, make this game unending. There is no finite way to build. Individuals can build. It can be a shared endeavor. But here's the point. Success depends on the balance and the basic rules. How you assemble at the beginning. You can't just do anything and expect your structure to stand. You can't. There are rules. You have to pay attention. But if you kind of wobble and make a mistake, it is possible to start again. Legos are so popular that about a year ago, the Houston Museum of, and hear this, Natural Science set up the first ever world-class Lego exhibit. There were artists, scientists, major builders, construction people who contributed to this exhibit. And some of the more fascinating pieces are Van Gogh, several Van Goghs, Starry Night in Legos, because they do come in colors, and the Mona Lisa. From 30 feet away, you cannot tell that you're not looking at the original. And one of the really popular Lego parts of the exhibit is a 20-foot-tall Tyrannosaurus Rex. All this is to say Legos has come a long way and is still extremely popular now in its new form with all the new possibilities. Paul and Matthew are very concerned with how we build. Building matters. It matters to our faith. It matters to the Christian community. It has to do with the grounding of our faith. It has to do with the stability of the Christian church and how we begin, how we anchor the construction of our faith and the steps that we take, even when weak and hasty, even when occasionally we put in a wrong step and we got to pull it out and find the right matching piece. In this whole process, Paul and Matthew tell us everything in the kingdom of God, everything we are called to build in the name of Jesus, begins with the head of the corner. That's the gospel. The head of the corner, no one talks about heads of corners. We use the word cornerstone. My brother was really into building and construction and stuff like that. And I asked him one time, and I got quite a lecture on the cornerstone. You want to mess up your house? You want to watch it fall? You want to mess up your bridge? You want to watch it go into the Mississippi? Just don't pay attention to the cornerstones. Everything rests on them. It is the essential first step. In Legos, kids will learn how to assemble, how to grow their blocks, and how to keep them strong and resilient, and, yes, even on occasion, beautiful. For Paul, he begins his entry into this topic by saying, what are the key building blocks of our faith? What stands out? He approaches this from the negative. He says, I'll tell you what does not stand out in God's eyes is your resume. He says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was highly educated under one of the top Pharisees. He was circumcised. He was part of the chosen people. He knew everything and had risen to the top of the Pharisee teacher ladder. And Paul says, none of that counts. None of it. This is something worth thinking about, especially in our culture. All those attributions, all the glory of the resume that you might, I'm into resumes right now, one of my nieces is looking for a job. All of the slants that you put on how you say things, oh, make it sound good, bolster it up a little bit, feel the surge of confidence, if only you were that person described on the resume. The resume's job is to impress. It's to get the job. And it's to beat out all other contenders. This way of slanting and conceiving and expressing our attributes, Paul refers to as flesh. It's fleshly, it'll come and go, it's not worth beans. The confidence you have is false confidence. This is the resume that Paul rejects. When we lean and find our footing in our legacy, our ancestors.com, our ethnicity, our tribal affiliation, our privileged education, our gender, our politics, or our religious standing and rank, our achievements, our awards, these create a false sense of pride. This level of privilege is what Paul is denouncing, beginning with himself. You know that when Paul traveled the circuit, even as a Christian evangelist, people said, whoa, he studied under Gamaliel, the top teacher of all the academics. Paul is amazing. And Paul says here, nope, not worth anything. If anything, according to Paul, it gets in the way of faith. It gets in the way of the church. Who will run a church? Will it be the glossy, glassy resume person? Or will it involve something much deeper, much harder to get a hold of? The heart and the spirit. As Paul lists these dangerous, idolatrous fixations, the culture, even country, our economic status, we begin to feel like something precious is being peeled away from us. And that's what forced Felicity Huffington and a bunch of other actors, actresses, famous people to absolutely cheat to get their kids into the right, the best schools. Felicity ended up in jail, not for long, but it was still kind of embarrassing. She had to have her daughter in a top Ivy school. So how did she do it? She bribed. She paid almost $200,000 to one source in order to bribe her daughter into an Ivy League school. She lied. Other parents lied very craftily by faking sports, saying, my daughter is a star soccer player. Bribe somebody to write a coach's recommendation. Did all the internet kind of deceitful things that were, I'm not really familiar with it, but many people are familiar with. The goal is to win. The goal is success. The goal is power. The goal is honor. And God help you if you end up at a community college. Somewhere in our hearts, we know the whole thing is wrong and a sham. And yet, it goes on. Even to the highest ranks of the administration level, the admissions level of some of these great schools. Okay. For Paul, the integrity, the head of the cornerstone can only be Jesus. What will we boast in? It will be Jesus, the victim. Jesus, the victor. Jesus, the cross, and the resurrection. Love one another is often lost and empty by those who speak it. Love certain people, but not others. But we're always weighing and evaluating, aren't we? Even if we don't say terrible words about certain people, we feel deeply which people are bad. Love one another. Paul says, I had it all. I am the 1%. And all of it is worthless. All of it is superficial. All of it is meaningless. So what do we think is happening in the first generation of the Christian church? Status rules, honor rules, gender rules in almost all cases, but not all. Who your parents are is important. What your political rank was in the world. We know that Paul preached in Athens. This is a highly sophisticated cultural system. And the church had difficulty accepting another system, one where the cornerstone is the cross, and one where the honor is in suffering. And so we have, from Paul, we have the only status that matters is that we have been buried with Christ and raised to new life. We are born again, all the old born stuff. Well, it's nice and it might get you a better salary, just saying. But when it comes to our faith, that is different. We have the promise and the power to have a new birth and new values, a new sense of power, the power of the cross. We have different confidence and new confidence because we are beloved by God. We have a different legacy, not born of ancestry.com, but born of water and the Holy Spirit. We have a family tree, not the kind that shows all of your people, because they're your tribe, because we love to know our own tribe. But we have a family tree based on, not on blood, not on tribe, but on spirit. We are brothers and sisters, not because of blood or nation or tribe, but because of Christ. We have a new home, a different home, a home that is defined spiritually. God is helping us in our building, our creating, our birthing of a new creation. Nothing less than entirely new creation. This is a divine process. This is not a resume that we recognize. This is not flesh, but this is breath. This is the future. A well-created Lego design can always change and add. It is never static. We also, grafted into Christ, we are in motion. The goal is ahead. The cornerstone is strong. It is solid. And from that point, we can construct a future. A church looking for a new rector will redefine where its roots are, where the cornerstone is, and that will power their search for a new pastor. I close with this. It's just an absolutely amazing story. Every once in a while in history, we can see a connection over 100 or more years that is powerful, based on a connection where the Legos clicked. Here's one for the record books. The Choctaw Native people were part of the massive Veil of Tears when they were repatriated into Oklahoma. This was brutal, often genocidal, and it occurred between 1830 and 1845. The Choctaw, many of them, were educated. They could read, they could write, and they could learn about the Irish who were dying by the millions of starvation in Ireland. They knew where Ireland was. And here they were under a great leader of their own. And they recognized a degree of suffering that they had just been through. They worked really hard and gathered $170. They sent it to Ireland to help with the relief, to provide food and hope. Thus began a nice-shaped Lego of compassion. In 1990, at an anniversary of 150 years, in Ireland, a group came, sent representatives to the U.S. to walk the Veil of Tears with their Choctaw friends. And as the anniversary continued of this incredible gift, in 2015 in County Cork, a statue was built. The statue was called Kindred Spirits in Suffering. The Choctaw, many of them, went to Ireland. They attended the ceremony and they enjoyed fellowship with the Irish. In 2018, the Irish government began a scholarship especially toward the Choctaw Nation. And they set up scholarships for students, Native Americans, to study in Ireland. Okay, right up to the present, COVID. That's the present. COVID. The Irish recognized that one of the hardest hit groups is the Native American reservations, suffering terribly with almost no access to the things we take for granted. And they decided it was time to do a major thank you for 150 years back in history. They raised over $1 million and sent it to the Choctaw people for compassionate COVID care. The love had been returned because the cornerstone was solid. an incredible story. Your story is incredible. Your future is full of hope. You are building God's kingdom. You are also ready and called to design new ways to serve God and your neighbors. This is a journey. It is in God's hands. But it is your future, and it is one of hope. Amen.